Here's another message from Pastor Phil Carswell from Life Christian Church.
Appreciate your kind words. Appreciate that very much. In fact, I titled my little talk to you today, Caring for the Body. Caring for the Body. I wonder if you've ever stopped for a moment just to think about how blessed we really are. You know, for a start, we live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. Have we ever stopped to think about how blessed we are to be living here in beautiful Tasmania, especially on the northwest coast of Tasmania? We have so much to be thankful for. And what a blessing it is to be a part of Life Christian Church. You know, we have wonderful Bible-based, life-related teaching. I know you appreciate that. And I'm sure that you understand that that doesn't just happen. Pastor Pete doesn't just front up here Sunday morning and think to himself, I wonder what I should talk about today. I mean, there's lots of hours of waiting on God, hearing what God is saying that he wants to deposit to us. And then in the preparation time, I'm sure you understand and appreciate that he works hard at this. And why does he do that? Because he's committed to feeding the flock that God has entrusted to his care. And we have the wonderful pastors and elders, district connect leaders, the ministry team leaders, the amazing worship team, kids church, ladies, men's and youth ministries, young adults, MOPS, Life Keys, Life at Play. It's amazing. We are so blessed. And Leanne and the office staff, the management team that do the work behind the scenes that we don't really hear about, to look after all the finances and the legal things to keep things going in the right way here. And the setup and pack up team with Ben and Tim and the team, you know, they're here every Sunday. And they serve us with willing hearts. We are so blessed. And so much to be thankful for. And you know, I'm excited because I think that we have the real potential to go to the next level, to take new ground in so many areas in our church. One of those areas we want to talk about this morning, and that's in the area of caring for one another. And I think we have the real potential to go to that next level, to take new ground in being able to care for one another. We have wonderful pastoral carers who are nominated to do that job. But I want to suggest this morning that we all have the opportunity to be involved in caring for one another. And this morning I simply want to encourage and perhaps inspire you toward that new ground. Let's lay a biblical foundation for a start. In the New Testament, the church is called the body of Christ, Christ being the head, all believers being the body components. And the imagery is how the human body functions, so the body of Christ functions. And that's the imagery we're given in the New Testament. Now, in the body of Christ, there is a universal sense, every believer in the world, and there's a local sense of which we are one aspect of that local sense. In his letter to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 4, Paul writes this, and it's in the New Living Testament, that is, Christ is speaking about, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So it's his work. He puts us together the way he wants us together in the church. He fits us together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Notice it says fit together, complementary, interdependent, and each part functions the way that it's been designed. That is, health is the result. And we know healthy bodies grow. And that's what Paul is telling us here. And he goes on in his letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12, and he uses a similar imagery. In verse 12 of chapter 12, he says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given the one spirit to drink. Now the body is made up, is not made up of one, but one part, but of many. And he goes on to say in the following verses from this that we have different parts, the body has different parts and different roles. And they're all necessary. Every part of our body is necessary, but they're different. But they work together and function together in order that the body is made healthy. And as each part of our human body functions in the way it's been designed, so health is something that results. In the body of Christ, it's a similar thing. As each part is different, but each part does its work, there's cooperative interdependence, so we have a healthy Christian body. In verse 25 of that same chapter, in the NIV, it says, he has done this so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. In the Amplified version, I like this, it says, so that there is no division or discord or lack of adaption of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike have a mutual interest in and care for one another. Two important points. First, it says adapt to one another. Now, who knows that when you're married, you have to adapt? When I first married Ruth, this horrible thing happened. I'd finished the washing up, and then I would notice that the dishcloth was placed on the wrong side of the sink. Can you believe that? I mean, there's only one side of the sink that you can put the dishcloth, right? We had a guy come and stay with us, and he had some issues that we was working through, and he and his son came and lived with us for 3 or 4 weeks. He figured out what was going on. You know, I'd come home from the office from work, and the dishcloth was on the wrong side of the sink. He'd move it back, you know, put it back in its right place. He figured out what was going on, so when he did the washing up, he left it in the middle of the sink, right underneath the taps. So there's adaption, isn't there? We know we have to adapt to one another, because if we don't, there's World War III every day. And in the Christian church, in the church local as well, we understand and know that we have to adapt. We have different gifts, different skills, different strengths, different weaknesses. We are not all like you. We're not all like me. And we need to adapt. And there's acceptance and respect in love and grace that bonds us together, works together, that interdependence. That's what this verse is talking about. The second point is important. It says there's a mutual interest in and care for one another. You see, the body cares for the body. The body cares for the body, and that's the biblical principle that we are talking about here this morning. The body caring for the body. And let me take you on a different journey. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. The setting here is that it's after the resurrection. And there are two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And we pick up the verses in verse 13. And we want to look at this from just a little bit of a different perspective this morning. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, listen to this, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. That must have been some experience. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. Jesus went on then to explain to them, the prophets and the teachers and the scriptures actually talked about this before, guys. This was foretold. This was what was going to happen, that I was going to die and be raised from the dead. Then he goes on in verse 28, the chapter goes on. As they approached the village to which they were going, listen to this, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Things to notice. Jesus came up and walked alongside them. He engaged with them. What's happening, guys? What's been going on? He didn't push in. He waited for them to invite him to stay. And then God worked in them in a powerful way. As members of this local church, this local expression of the body of Christ, we have the wonderful opportunity to walk the journey with each other. As Jesus came alongside them, walked alongside. So we have the opportunity to walk alongside one another in our journey of life. When we come together, on Sundays or other times, there's an opportunity to come alongside someone, engage with them. You know, how's it going? What's happening? What's going on for you? And then we need to listen. Have you ever noticed that we have two ears and one mouth? What does that mean? Yeah, we listen twice as much as what we speak. That's what it means. That's how we've been created anyway. Listen. And when we listen, something big might be happening for somebody. There might be challenges. Yeah, just as Jesus, we don't push in. We wait to be invited in. And when we're invited in, we can say, "Hey, I'm going to commit to walk the journey with you. I'm going to walk alongside you. I'm going to pray for you." One of the greatest joys we can experience is seeing God work in someone's life. Let me say it again so that you get it clear and get your brain cells around this. One of the greatest joys we can experience is seeing God work in someone's life. In Philippians 1, Paul says, "I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Let's talk about walking the journey with other people. Can I just share something that has worked for me? Is that okay? In 1980, I started a prayer diary. Can you believe it? I was 27 years old. And I just handed the youth group over to a young guy that we'd trained up. And I'd just been appointed as an elder in the church. And I felt God saying to me that it was time to get more intentional about praying for and caring for other people. So I set up a prayer diary. I prayed for young leaders on Mondays, Tuesdays for missionary friends, Wednesdays for wider family, Thursdays for those who had lost their way, Friday for our church leadership, Saturday for youth group, and Sunday for the worship team leaders and the preacher that was on for that particular day. I still have that diary and I update it every year. And it's gone on. Some come off, some come on, just as I sense God leading me. When we came to Life Church, obviously a lot of new young leaders went on my Monday list. And some of you are still on that list, and we continue to be there. Don't pray for everyone every day, just as God leads me. In 1981, I put a young guy by the name of Tim on my Monday list. He is still on my Monday list 37 years later. And it's a joy to pray. It's a joy to see God work in someone's life and to see things happen for people. Tim was an outstanding student and he was a champion athlete. He didn't have a deep faith commitment at that point in time, but he had huge potential. So we began to pray for him, spend time with him. I went on my first trip to the walls of Jerusalem a few years ago with him, and that was a job. He camped in the snow at the Pool of Bethesda. Tim was Ducks of Parkland's High School, and he still has the athletic records. He went on to uni in Hobart and he studied law. He got involved with the discipleship group, the Navigators, and his spiritual journey took off like you would never believe. Absolutely amazing things happened in his spiritual life. He became a spiritual giant almost overnight. Unbelievable what God did. He went off to Melbourne University, did PhD, and for many years was the Professor of International Law at Melbourne University. He was the Australian Chairman of Red Cross. He was Australia's leading authority on human rights law. Now, I don't catch up with him face to face very often, but when I do, it's a great time. Last year, at his nephew's wedding, Reuben McCormick, he introduced me to his children. And there was his adult children, his wonderful young children, young and grown-up adults now. And I have to tell you, it was an emotional moment as I stood there and saw what God had done in this man's life. Extraordinary. And Tim said to me, "Mate, I want you to pray about something for me." And he said, "I want to come back to Tassie." Now, you can take the boy out of Tassie, but you can't take Tassie out of the boy. You all know that, don't you? He said, "I want to come back, but there needs to be a suitable job. Will you pray?" Now, just recently, Tim was appointed head of the law department at Tasmanian University. Some marvellous things happen in people's lives. God does some wonderful things, and great joy it brings to us, we can experience when we see God work in someone's life. In 1988, I added another page to my prayer diary, and that's what I call my daily special prayer list. I now call it my everyday list. It's more of a short-term list. We connect with somebody. Someone may be facing surgery or medical checkup or job interview or some challenge in life. And we simply say, "Look, I'll walk this journey with you until this is over, until we get through this. Put you on my daily list and I'll check. I'll send you a text message. I'll keep in contact with you over these next few days until we can get that. I'll put that date, that surgery date in my diary, and I'll pray that issue through for you," etc. Walk the journey with you. Check up. See how you're going and what's happening for you. Praying through every day in my everyday list is a really good way of allowing God to prompt me who I should contact during this week or during the day. Just waiting on God. Who should I talk to this week? Who should I contact this week? What person or what names put before me in my mind that I need to make contact with during this week? A couple of years after we came to Life Church, Ruth and I met a Christian guy and we formed a bond of friendship with him. He was and still is a great guy, but he had a serious addiction problem. Several times he knocked on our front door with his guitar under his arm and he was really under the weather. So I got my guitar out and we sang the blues together. Can you believe it? A few times he'd ring me up and he'd say, "Come down and see me." He's really under the weather. And he was really down. We'd go down, encourage him, pray. He knew he had to get help for himself, and more than what I could give him. But he hadn't come to that place yet. He hadn't got to rock bottom yet. Over the next couple of years, we just prayed for him, encouraged him, and loved him. He's a good guy. Then one day, he drove himself to City Mission, Serenity House. And there, our Jeanette Jensen down the back. Put your hand up, Jeanette. Jeanette's the manager. And she cared for him down there. Her husband, Dennis, is here today too. And Dennis works for the Salvation Army for the program, the Bridge program. They're good people, folk. Good people. Encourage them. They're on the coalface of our situations. Anyway, Jeanette looked after him. I think she took his keys and said, I'm not letting you go home, mate. She got him into rehab in Launceston and Evander. I think he was there for about 12 months. And he did so well. And we visited him a couple of times when he was in Launceston. He came to see us New Year's Eve, just gone. He's had some real health challenges. But he's doing so well, and he sat there opposite us, and I thought, my goodness, God has been so good in this man's life. How much joy that gave me to see this guy in the way that he was, strong in faith, connected to his church, heavily in the music scene, still singing the blues. And he hasn't had a drink for 3.5 years. That is just amazing. And Ruth said to him, mate, do you still have a desire to have a drink? And he said, no, God has completely healed me and taken it away completely. And all I can say, folk, is that is nothing short of the miraculous hand of God in a man's life. There is great joy in seeing God work in somebody's life. And we all have that opportunity, folk, of walking the journey with other people. One another. The body caring for the body. One of the greatest joys we can experience is seeing God work in someone's life. Did I say that before? I hope you're getting hold of that. I hope it's getting hold of you. Walking the journey with people. Two final points. We've got 2 or 3 minutes. Just relax. Two final points. The first one is overflow. I just want you to get that word in your brain. Overflow. You know, when we're talking about walking the journey with people and caring for people in the way that we've talked about this morning, sometimes we think to ourselves, oh, I must strive to do this. I really must push myself harder. There must be greater discipline in my life. Well, we all need to be intentional about it, yes. But it's more about overflow than about pushing ourselves. You see, God working in you and me, overflowing to others. What God is teaching me, what God is showing me, what God is illuminating to me in my daily walk with Him, in my devotional times, which Pastor Peter has championed, we all need to be on board with that. What God is teaching me, what I am learning in my walk with Him, that will become an overflow to people that He brings up into our space. It becomes as natural as breathing, is what I'm trying to say. And I've lost count of how many times God has spoken something to me and it's been relevant and real in my situation, but it's been so relevant to people that God has brought into my space. It's an overflow. A couple of weeks ago, I had a restless night. I couldn't get to sleep. You ever had one of those? Yeah, man. Well, there were a lot of things that were happening for us all at once. You know, I was retiring, selling our house, buying a unit, downsizing, moving, packing. Worse ongoing recovery from medical challenges. Man, there were some things happening for us. And I couldn't get to sleep, and these things were buzzing around in my head as if I had to solve them all at once. You know what I'm saying? And then I got up the next morning, and my Bible reading, my allocated Bible reading, was 2 Kings 19. And it was King Hezekiah. He was under threat from the Assyrian Empire. And it was a grave situation. He acknowledged the reality and the gravity of the situation, but he went straight down to the temple to pray. In fact, it must have been a message given to him in writing, because he said he laid it before the Lord and prayed. I read Stuart Briscoe's devotional notes around these verses, and he based his devotion on an event that happened in the Gulf War. And Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, the British Prime Minister, actually sent a message to President George Bush. And this was the message. This is no time to go wobbly, George. That was God speaking to me as clear as day. This is no time to go wobbly, Phil. Bring these matters to me. And I have lost count of how many times that wobbly thing has been relevant to people that God has brought in my space. You see, focus, overflow. It's as natural as breathing. It is not something that we need to push. Yes, we need to be intentional, but it's not something that we're striving toward and disciplining ourselves for. It's what God has brought to me in my daily journey with Him. One last point then, and we invite the team to come back up and join us. But what I want to say to you is this. When you commit to caring for the body, one another in the church, you will soon find yourself also walking the journey with people outside the church, outside the body, with your workmates, your neighbours and your teammates. And when you walk the journey with people, it will become part of your DNA, and it will happen wherever you are. In whatever circumstances you are in, you will become a people carer. And God will move you into that direction. Now, one of the greatest joys we can experience is seeing God work in someone's life. Did I say that before? I hope you've got a hold of it. And I hope it's got hold of you this morning.